Hello, listeners, and welcome to Northland Views. This is your Sun Sounds volunteer reader. I'll be reading from the Navajo Times and the Navajo Hopi Observer. Today's headlines relate to many things. We have stories about a Utah Judicial District decree on Navajo water rights, a new deputy civil attorney for civil practice in Coconino County, a Diné basketball star inducted into the North American Indigenous Athletics Hall of Fame, a man convicted for selling fake Hopi jewelry, and several other areas of interest to listeners. Let's begin with this story from the Navajo Times of Tuesday, February 25th. 2025, first appeared online on February 20th by the Navajo Times staff. Headline, Utah 7th Judicial District Court Decree Adjudicates Navajo Water Rights. Dateline, Window Rock. The Utah 7th Judicial District Court on January 31st determined and adjudicated all Navajo Nation rights to the use of surface and underground water in the state and fully incorporated the Navajo Nation State of Utah Water Rights Settlement. I applaud this historic achievement, President Boo Nigrin said. Securing the nation's water rights is one of my top priorities, and the court's entry of the decree on January 31st, 2025, was the final step in securing the Navajo Nation's water rights in Utah. Now that we have secured our water rights in Utah, I look forward to the state of Utah collaborating with the Navajo Nation to have Congress take swift action in passing the Northeastern Arizona Indian Water Rights Settlement Act, he added. Water rights and negotiations began in 2003, and the Navajo-Utah Water Rights Settlement Agreement was reached between the Navajo Nation and Utah in 2015. The Navajo-Utah Water Rights Settlement was approved by Congress in 2020, and the act was finalized by the Navajo Nation, the State of Utah, and the U.S. Department of the Interior on May 27th, 2022. The Utah 7th Judicial District Interlocutory Decree determines and establishes the nation's right to use 81,500 acre-feet of water per year on its lands within Utah. The 25th Navajo Nation Council commends Utah's 7th Judicial District Court for affirming our water rights to 81,500 acre-feet per year from the Colorado River in Utah, Speaker Crystalyn Curley said. Our partnership with the state is rooted in respect and sovereignty, and we will continue working together to secure passage for the Northeastern Arizona Indian Water Rights Settlement Act in Congress. The Navajo-Utah Water Rights Settlement Act authorized $210.4 million for water infrastructure development as follows. $198.3 million for the Navajo Water Development Trust Fund, $11.1 million for the Navajo Operation Maintenance and Replacement Trust Fund, $1 million for implementing the Act. This decree is a critical step towards having access to the federal funding for the water projects in Utah pursuant to the settlement agreement, said Jason John, the Department of Water Resources Director. Over 6,000 Diné reside in the Navajo-Utah region, according to the 2020 U.S. Census. Approximately half of the households within this area don't have clean drinking water and must haul water over vast distances. The other half have running water and indoor sanitation facilities. Council Delegate Curtis Yanito said this is a significant win in securing water rights and future water access for Diné in Utah. It's been a 36-year journey, and the nation's efforts have triumphed. The Navajo Nation Department of Justice recognized the monumental document and celebrated the Navajo-Utah Water Rights Settlement Interlocutory Decree at the February 11th, 2025 Navajo-Utah Commission meeting. The Navajo-Utah Water Settlement Decree signifies an important milestone for the Navajo people in securing and protecting our water, said Jolyn Ashley, the Navajo Nation's Water Rights Commission Chair. I look forward to the passage by Congress of the Northeast Arizona Indian Water Rights Settlement Act that will provide the delivery of safe drinking water to many Navajo families who continue to haul water on a daily basis. It takes a team to accomplish what is being pushed forward for the future of the Navajo Nation. Another article from the Navajo Times of Tuesday, February 25th. This is by Krista Allen, editor of the Navajo Times. Headline, Branch named civil deputy attorney for Coconino County. Dateline, Da Destil in Hotza. Former Navajo Nation Attorney General Ethel Branch is the Coconino County Attorney's Office new civil deputy attorney. Branch, who served as the 11th and then 13th Attorney General of the Navajo Nation, is Bitodni and born for Nakai Dine. She was raised on her family's ranch south of Tsiltsizi. We are thrilled to welcome Ethel Branch as a new civil deputy attorney for Coconino County, said Coconino County Attorney Ammon Barker. Ethel's extensive experience and dedication to public service make her a perfect fit for this role. We are confident that her legal expertise will benefit our county and help us continue to provide the highest level of service to our community. Barker's leadership is truly inspiring, said Branch. I am honored to join his team of hardworking attorneys, she said Friday night. They embody the best ideals of the legal profession: honor, integrity, discipline, a commitment to excellence, compassion, and kindness. It is a special honor to serve the county I was born in and raised in, and whose people and lands I care deeply about. Branch is a graduate of Harvard Law School, the Harvard Kennedy School, and Harvard College. As Attorney General, Branch oversaw critical legal work involving tribal and federal matters, including addressing the Gold King Mine spill, aiding the preservation of Shasjaa, and securing the Northeastern Arizona Indian Water Rights Settlement Agreement. We are thrilled to have this superb public servant and highly experienced advocate join our team, the Coconino County Attorney's Office wrote in its news post today. I'm happy to remind you that you're listening to Northland Views from the Flagstaff Studios of Sun Sounds of Arizona. Sun Sounds programming is directed to those who cannot use print material due to a disability. Listen to our live streams and learn how you can support us at the website sunsounds.org. Now let's turn to some articles from the Navajo Hopi Observer of Wednesday, February 5th. This first one about another major achievement by a Navajo young woman. This headline is Diné basketball star Annalise Benali to be inducted into the 2025 North American Indigenous Athletics Hall of Fame, among 48 others. The North American Indigenous Athletics Hall of Fame recently announced Annalise Benali into its 2025 class of inductees. She is among 48 new individuals in athletes, coach, trainers, builders, and media categories, and four teams to receive the honor for their athletic achievements and contributions to their respective sports. Benali was born and raised on the Navajo Reservation in Shiprock, New Mexico. She is an enrolled member of the Navajo Nation. Her parents are Brian and Vicky Benali. She has one sibling, Patience Benali. Benali attended Wichita Heights High School in Wichita, Kansas. During her time at Wichita Heights High School, she was a four-year varsity player and scored over 1,000 points in her high school career. Benali was named three-time Wichita Eagle All-City League, three-time Wichita Eagle All-Class 5A Schools, Sports in Kansas Class 5A honoree and 2016 Navajo Times All-Star. When it came time to choose a college, analysts chose NCAA Division I San Jose State University, SJSU. At SJSU, she became one of the top three point shooters in the Mountain West Conference. She set the SJSU sophomore three-point field goals made in a single season record. She scored a career-high 31 points against San Diego State University. Despite missing numerous games due to injuries in her freshman and senior years, she finished in the top 10 in school history with three-point field goals made, three-point field goal percentage, and three-point field goal attempts. Benali graduated from San Jose State University in 2021. Benali has played professionally in Europe since 2021. Her rookie year team was Romania with CSM Alexandria. She moved the following year to play in Albania with Flamurtari, winning the Albanian Kosovo Liga United Cup, Albanian Super Cup, Albanian Cup, and was Albanian League champions. She was named Eurobasket.com All-Albanian League and Eurobasket.com. Her next team was Bashkimi in Kosovo. She went on to win the Kosovo Cup, Albanian Kosovo Liga United Cup. Her team was Kosovo League regular season champions, Kosovo League champions, Liga Unike regular season champions. During the off seasons, Benali resides in New Mexico, where she hosts free basketball camps and participates in speaking engagements to tell her story in hopes of inspiring, encouraging, and uplifting Native youth to never stop working toward their dreams. Additionally, Benali made her acting debut in the 2024 Netflix movie Res Ball, directed by Sydney Freeland and produced by LeBron James. About the North American Indigenous Athletics Hall of Fame. Founded in 2022 by Dr. Dan Ninham, Oneida, and his wife Susan Ninham, Red Lake Ojibwe, the North American Indigenous Athletics Hall of Fame recognizes the indigenous sport cultures of 27 countries of North America by recognizing outstanding leadership and achievement in individual and team athletics. By honoring and celebrating the empowered journey of the annually inducted individuals and teams, the hope is that their stories may inspire future generations to follow their dreams in athletics and in life. The National North American Indigenous Athletics Hall of Fame will recognize the 2025 class, as well as 2024, 2023, and the inaugural 2023 inductees in a banquet to be held on Saturday, June 7, 2025, in Green Bay, Wisconsin, at the Oneida Conference Center there. News of a different sort. From page one of the Navajo Hopi Observer of Wednesday, February 5th, headline, Man Convicted for Selling Fake Hopi Jewelry, by the staff of Native News Online. A federal jury in New Mexico has convicted Robert Hawk on multiple counts of fraud and violations of the Indian Arts and Crafts Act, IACA, for selling counterfeit jewelry falsely attributed to famed Hopi jeweler Charles Loloma. The verdict came after a four-day trial and 4 hours of jury deliberation. For years, Hawk made counterfeit Loloma jewelry in his California home and sold it on eBay for thousands of dollars per piece. Loloma was known for revolutionizing Native American jewelry by blending traditional Hopi designs with modern materials such as gold, coral, and turquoise. Today, his pieces are displayed in prominent museums and continue to be highly sought after by collectors. The scheme first came to light when the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service launched an undercover investigation. Agents purchased two pieces of jewelry from Hawk and had them examined by experts, including Loloma's niece, Vermin Equatua, confirming that the pieces were in fact fakes. A search of Hawk's home uncovered tools and materials used to create fake jewelry. Investigators found unfinished pieces in Loloma's style, pieces in engraving tools hidden in a boot, design sketches, and metal sherds with practice versions of Loloma's signature. Authorities estimate that Hawk made over $400,000 selling fake jewelry before he was caught. The IACA was enacted in 1935 to protect Native American artists and consumers from fraudulent sales of fake indigenous art. The law makes it illegal to falsely market products such as Native American as products as Native American made unless they are genuinely created by a federally recognized tribal member or a certified artisan. Amendments to the Act in 1990 increased the penalties for violations, ensuring stricter enforcement. Under IACA, first-time offenders can be fined up to $250,000 and face up to 5 years in prison, while businesses caught violating the act can face fines of up to $1 million. Robert Hawk's counterfeit operations significantly impacted the Native American art and craft marketplace. Doug Ault, assistant director of the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service Office of Law Enforcement, said in a press release, "Native American art fraud is a serious crime that exploits consumers and severely undermines the economic and cultural livelihood of Native American artists and tribes." Hawk now faces up to 20 years in federal prison for wire fraud, mail fraud, and violating the IACA. His sentencing date has not yet been set, but he remains under court-imposed release conditions. The prosecution was led by the U.S. Attorney's Office and the District of New Mexico, with investigations by the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service and the Indian Arts and Crafts Board. Native American art fraud is a serious crime that exploits consumers and severely undermines the economic and cultural livelihood of Native American artists and tribes, Ault said. We thank our partners, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, the U.S. Department of Justice, and the Indian Arts and Crafts Board for their assistance with this important investigation. Now, another article related to a different type of crime. Church Rock man gets 264 months on multiple counts. A Church Rock man was sentenced to 264 months in prison after pleading guilty to multiple counts of sexual abuse involving three young victims, two of whom were under the age of 12 at the time of offenses, and one under the age of 16. According to court documents, between January 2014 and December 2021, Nathaniel Luce, 32, an enrolled member of the Navajo Nation, engaged in sexual contact with two victims, both children who had not yet attained the age of 12. U.S. Attorney Alexander M.M. Ubaez and Raul Buhanda, special agent in charge of the Federal Bureau of Investigation's Albuquerque field office, made the announcement today. The Farmington resident agency of the FBI Albuquerque field office, with assistance from the Navajo Police Department and the Navajo Department of Criminal Investigations, investigated this case, which is being prosecuted by Assistant U.S. Attorney Brittany Duchasse as part of Project Safe Childhood, a nationwide initiative to combat the growing epidemic of child sexual exploitation and abuse, launched in May 2006 by the Department of Justice. Led by U.S. attorneys' offices and CEOs, Project Safe Childhood marshals federal, state, and local resources to better locate, apprehend, and prosecute individuals who exploit children via the Internet, as well as identify and rescue victims. For more information about Project Safe Childhood, please visit justice.gov/PSC. Now let's let us take a look at another article from the Navajo Hopi Observer. Also related to crime statistics, brothers arrested for December Flagstaff shooting. Dateline Flagstaff. On December 6, 2024, at approximately 4 p.m., Flagstaff Police Department officers responded to reports of a shooting in the 600 block of West Route 66. Upon arrival, officers found a 32-year-old man suffering from a non-life-threatening gunshot wound. Preliminary investigations suggest the victim was shot during an altercation with two younger men who fled the scene following the incident. The victim was promptly transported to Flagstaff Medical Center in stable condition. Members of the Flagstaff Police Department's Criminal Investigations Division were called to the scene to lead the investigation. An investigation has now identified the suspects as Riley Z. Zaneya, 19, and Destry Zaneya, 20. Both individuals, who are brothers, were sought on arrest warrants in connection with the shooting. Destry Zaneya was arrested on December 10, 2024, on his outstanding warrant, on January 30, 2025. Riley Zaneya was arrested in Flagstaff. Both suspects are now in custody. The Flagstaff Police Department would like to thank the public for their assistance and vigilance in helping to resolve this investigation. A last story related to crime and police effectiveness. Headline, two Navajo men and a partner are indicted for illegal marijuana grow operations. This is by Susan Montoya Bryan for the Associated Press. Dateline, Albuquerque. A federal grand jury has indicted a Navajo man, his father, and a business partner on charges that they were running illegal marijuana growing operations in New Mexico and on the Navajo Nation to supply a black market. The indictment was unsealed Thursday, a week after local, state, and federal authorities raided the home of one of the defendants and two farms in a rural area east of Albuquerque that were no longer licensed by the state. Items seized included 8,500 pounds, 3,855 kilograms of marijuana, some methamphetamine, two firearms, $35,000 in cash, illegal pesticides, and a bulletproof vest. The charges against Dine Benali, 48, Donald Benali, 74, and Irving Ray Yui Lin, 73, of California, include conspiracy to manufacture and distribute marijuana, possession with intent to distribute, and polluting a protected waterway. Prosecutors described the alleged operation as a brazen criminal enterprise and asked a federal judge to detain the men pending trial, suggesting in a motion that there was a risk the defendants would flee and that they were a danger to the community. The bottom line is that defendants are drug traffickers who operate in accordance with their own laws, so how can anything short of detention ensure the safety of the community or this dependent's appearance in this matter, the motion reads. Phone and email messages seeking comment were left Thursday for the defendants. Dine Benali first made headlines when cannabis farming operations in northwestern New Mexico were raided by federal authorities in 2020. The Navajo Department of Justice sued him, leading to a court order halting those operations. A group of Chinese immigrant workers also sued Benali and his associates. The workers claimed they were lured to northern New Mexico and forced to work long hours trimming marijuana on the Navajo Nation, where growing the plant is, in fact, illegal. Just last year, New Mexico marijuana regulators revoked the license of the growing operation in Torrance County, east of Albuquerque. Regulators levied a $1 million fine, saying there were about 20,000 mature plants on site, four times more than the number allowed under the license. Inspectors also found another 20,000 immature plants. According to the indictment, the enterprise involved the construction of more than 1,100 cannabis greenhouses, the solicitation of Chinese investors to bankroll the effort, and the recruitment of Chinese workers to cultivate the crops. Dineh Benali is also accused of approaching the chief of police for the Navajo Nation in an attempt to bribe him with drug proceeds to allow marijuana to be grown on tribal land. With armed guards securing the farms on tribal land, the indictment alleges, vacuum sealers were used to package marijuana and Chinese workers transported the drugs across state lines. The defendants also are accused of violating federal clean water standards by installing a dam made of sandbags along the San Juan River to help irrigate the illegal crops. Wells were also drilled to access water. If convicted, the defendants each face no less than 10 years and up to life in prison, prosecutors said. Remember, you can also hear Sun Sounds on your Echo Dot or your smart home device. You can also get our stream and online demand programs with the new Sun Sounds of Arizona app for Apple and Android devices. In closing, let me remind you that this has been Northland Views. I'm your Sun Sounds of Arizona volunteer reader, Mary Magrotti Nishli. Ahyehe, thank you so much for listening. And now, until next week, Hagone.